Thank you so much for your encouraging comments, Mayor Danilek. And once again, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us today. Church family, we're in. But this is not the finish line. It's just another leg in the race. It's another chapter in the story that God's writing through this church body. Nothing changes about our mission. We've said all along, and we mean it. It's not about the building. It's about people. People who matter to God and also to us. And so we can't kick back now. If anything, we ramp up our focus. If anything, at this crucial juncture as a church, we sharpen the intentionality of what we do and our understanding of why we do it. Committed in simplicity to knowing God, loving people, serving the world is the mission statement of Eaglemont Church, based on the concise mission that Jesus gave his followers back in the first century to make disciples, followers of Jesus. But let's go back in time. No, not to October 2006, when we had our first Sunday gathering in that great gym space. Back a little further, to 425 BC. There was a book written about that time. Amazing book, amazing story, with amazing and still applicable applications for us in 2024. It's the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament of the Bible, where Nehemiah motivates his people, the Jews, to come together to rebuild the broken down walls of their city, Jerusalem. And it was a big, big project, again, with applicable lessons for us. How to pray when things are going sideways. How to plan the work and work the plan while depending on God's wisdom and power. How to handle opposition and disappointment or discouragement while remaining focused on the goal. How to blend human and divine factors when facing unique circumstances. So applicable. I mean, we've had all of those elements as part of the story of our church, especially in the last couple of years, I would say. In Nehemiah 1:4, we read about the bad news of the broken down walls of his city. News that hit Nehemiah really, really hard. And he does what any powerful leader would do. He breaks down bawling. He does. He writes, "I sat down and wept." Yes, because he saw broken walls, but more so because he saw people who were now at risk. And his heart was broken for their condition and their susceptibility to danger. In his anguish about the condition of his people, he quickly gets to the place where he just has to do something. And so he takes the lead on the mission of rebuilding the city walls, motivated again by his heart for people in deep need. Now, this wasn't like having your fence in disrepair, like one of mine is. I'm getting to it, hopefully. In colonial estate or wherever you live. No, this was much bigger. These walls were very high, very thick walls, and they ran around the circumference of the city and very necessary for the protection from surrounding nations who had destructive intentions for the Jewish people, God's people. The broken down walls that caused Nehemiah grief, they can actually symbolize for us brokenness in people's lives all around us today. To whom as a church, and not with an attitude of we got it all together, because you know and I know we don't, right? But we've got a God that we're connected to relationally that has the answer, the hope, the gift of life. And that's what we bring. And so as a church, as a body of Christ followers, we are called to show and to share God's love and message of grace that brings hope when received. Nehemiah's heart was broken for people in need. Christ followers, I ask you, Eaglemont Church family, I ask you, what is it that has broken your heart lately? What is it that, what painful or spiritually destitute situation in someone's life has grieved you recently? And what have you done about it? Or what do you plan to do about it? You see, Christ followers and churches who make a significant difference in the lives of others typically have at some point what an American pastor many years ago now referred to as a Popeye moment. I'm dating myself, I know. Students, not now, but later on YouTube, you can search Popeye. You'll probably get some chicken restaurant promo come up, yeah. But search beyond that, okay? And you'll be amazed by the graphics of a 50-year-old cartoon. But Popeye had a girlfriend named Olive Oil, and she'd often be harassed by big, bad Bluto. Until Popeye had seen enough. And then what did Popeye say? I can't stands it anymore. Or I can't stands it no more. Actually, English teachers in the room, your skin is crawling right now. He actually said, eyes can't stands it. And he added that S. Like, whatever. And he couldn't. And that's when he ate his spinach that made him very strong. And from there on, it was that was all she wrote for Bluto. What is it, my Christian friend, in this broken world, that you can't stand? What is it that just gets you, that breaks your heart? I hope you know. One of our awesome young adults in our church family recently wrote this in an email to me. I have prayed many times for my heart to break, for what breaks God's heart. Wow, what a statement. From a young person, from anyone. And people living without God in their lives breaks God's heart because He created them, you and me, to be in relationship with us. Wow. Maybe for you it's the sad reality of people, young and old, who try, and oh, they try hard to live in apart from God, to live this life apart from God, who's the very one who designed their life and knows best how it should be lived, and watching people reject His love and a relationship with Him and His grace in their lives, just it breaks His heart. That they don't respond, to come to the place of understanding that they are unconditionally loved by the God who created them. Breaks His heart when that gift is rejected. And it should be the case for us as well. Or maybe it's the grade 9 student who comes in this place, and I popped in on the Wednesday night, 180 youth, and they had this game where you had to find all these glow sticks. And you know what? There were leaders in the spaces, including in here. They were running around, grabbing those under the chairs, down the hall. And I just went, that's good. Oh, if something gets wrecked, who wants that, right? But I'm sure Pastor John, being the responsible youth pastor he is, teed it up well. But they were having fun. They were having fun. But maybe there's one of those students or more, and they feel shattered inside. They're hurting deeply, and they feel they need to try and hide that from others when actually they don't. Because God knows already, and He cares more than they may realize. And people care. Here, those youth leaders. Dom, I looked up at you. Dom's up there watching those kids, making sure they're behaving. They care, and that's a beautiful thing. We need to move on. Another part of Nehemiah's story is that he had opposition to his rebuilding plan. You probably know this already, that opposition will most likely come when you attempt and commit to do good, something good, or something for God. Could be opposition from people in various ways, or it could be unforeseen obstacles that get in the way for any number of reasons. Well, Nehemiah did not let those obstacles that he faced stop him or even slow him down. That level of commitment to the good we know God wants us to do needs to be our spiritual DNA as Christ followers and as a church. Let's call it the no-quit gene. One of the best examples I know of the no-quit gene, I'm pulling from years ago today, I don't know what it is, but it's a story from almost 70 years ago that some of you are aware of through the book Gates of Splendor, of five American missionary couples in the late 50s who felt compelled and felt called by God to take the love and message of Jesus Christ to a remote jungle tribe, the Aucas in Ecuador. And after much effort invested to attempt to build trust with this little known jungle tribe, except they knew there was danger there. They attempted to build trust by dropping supplies from their small airplane on numerous occasions over a period of time. The five missionary men eventually felt it was time, land the plane by the riverbed in the jungle and make direct contact. Yeah, I think it's time to do that. Well, those Aka warriors ended up killing those five young missionary men, leaving five widows behind. And the most amazing part of the story is that some of those wives remained on mission, remained in Ecuador, undeterred from their gospel mission, in spite of the inconceivable tragedy that it was. They continued to risk because they knew God had given them a mission to accomplish of reaching people who may otherwise never, ever hear the good news message of God's love and grace. And eventually they had success in doing so. It's a neat story, and there's more to that story. They must have heard, these missionary widows must have heard Nehemiah's words from chapter 4, verse 14. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Sometimes we need that reminder ourselves. The Lord, great and awesome. No fear needed. Now, I am in no way drawing any kind of comparison with the story I just shared, but those who know Eaglemont's journey, our journey over the last couple of years, know the challenges and the roadblocks we've faced. It's almost as if someone doesn't want this expansion to happen. Maybe. You see, when we know we're being led by God, and God wants to do that. Did you know that? He wants to lead us if we allow Him in our lives, to be led by the one who designed my life? Why not? Now, probably not interested in picking what you're going to wear on a given day, although for some of you it might go a little better if you let him do that. No judgment. Said the man who, you know, by the way, happened to put on a tie. Twice a year, is it? Something like that?
Same one.
Nice. And you're absolutely right. For those that didn't hear, Heather said, same one. I have a closet full of ties, like from years back, right? Some of them probably woodwork today. But anyway, I just grab the one that's closest, and when I put it back, it's still there the next time I decide to wear one. So that's why, Heather, thank you very much. So if my sermon's longer, it's her fault. But when we know God is leading us and we're doing what He wants to do in response to an I can't stand it no more moment, we can push through any obstacle or roadblock that we may come up against. Not easy, necessarily, but we can. Because the Lord is strong and awesome. By the way, Nehemiah finished the rebuild of the wall. And he had a dedication too. Read about it in Nehemiah 12. And I can imagine him saying to the people that day, "We made it. We finished this big task, which sets us up for a very great future. And I'm excited." And then I can quite easily hear him say, "Oh, and just to be clear, this is not the finish line. The ministry work is still before us. It just may look a little different, but it's not done." And those words resonate with me, and they, I believe, resonate with our church family. So Eaglemont Church, since this is not the finish line, we must deepen our resolve to reach out to lonely people and those without hope, to faithfully serve God with our gifts and God-given abilities within the context of this community, to strengthen our resolve to grow in giving generously to God's work through the church, to find ways to authentically share and show the love and message of Jesus, and be positive representatives of God's love in this great and growing community and region. It's why God planted this church here, that through our individual lives and our collective life as a body, and from this building, from the multi-purpose room downstairs and the rec room and the youth space down there and from this auditorium would consistently come the message of God's love and grace for people and his offer of his free gift of eternal life in relationship with him. That is for everyone. And it's not something we work for, or it's not something we can earn, and that's a good thing. Otherwise, it's no longer a gift, which the Bible says it is. That's pretty cool. Maybe some of you engaging online, or some here in this place this morning, the question I would ask is, what's keeping you from taking God up on his offer of grace and forgiveness and relationship with you? If that's a decision you'd want to make today, tell God, talk to him. That's what prayer is, talking to a friend. And invite him. You can do it right now. Invite him to be the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life. Do it right now, he'll hear you. Do it tomorrow, he'll hear you. Do it tonight, in the middle of the night, he'll hear you. And immediately you'll be in his eternal family. And then share that. If you do that, share that good news with someone. But you might have questions still, and that's good. Ask those questions. Very courageous of you. And if you're in seeking mode and you're in this place this morning, or you're engaging online, I just say, way to go. Keep seeking. Keep asking the questions that you have. You can, if that's the case, you can scan the QR code that you'll see, or you can go to eaglemont.info, and there's a button there, I'm new, the I'm new card. You click on that, it gives you an opportunity to leave your contact information. We would just love to come alongside. We'd love to answer questions you might have. And if you made that commitment of your life to Christ, then we wanna be there to do what we can to help you put roots down in that new and awesome relationship with your Creator. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly ask that you would continue to lead us forward as a church. And may every person in this room and every person engaging online come to know confidently that they are loved by you, their Creator. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Being at Eaglemont has allowed me to work in children's ministry and to serve in that. And through that has allowed me to find a passion for working with kids, and that's been a really, really crazy cool thing that I've been able to experience here.
When I walk into Eaglemont Church, I feel the warmth, welcome, and acceptance, and the love of God flowing freely. I also know there will be good, strong teaching straight from the Bible. Love the hugs too.
I genuinely look forward to coming every Sunday. Joining Eaglemont has helped strengthen my walk and relationship with Jesus. It has been that missing piece I felt I needed in my life. Thank you to everyone here that has welcomed me into the Eaglemont family.
Eaglemont Christian Church has been a blessing to me and my family.
most especially the small group opportunity that I've been a part of multiple times. I would say that every small group opportunity just gave me more reason to be grateful to God for bringing me and my family to ECC.
My faith has grown so much being a part of Eaglemont Church. I know now from experience why God wants us to be in community with other believers. It's the connections with people and serving in different ways that have been so vital for me. It's not really about what I do, it's about what God is doing.
Eaglemont is Bible-based, and that's impacted how our own family strives to be also. Eaglemont has been a place of safety for me and my family, a place where we can come without judgment, without fear, and with a sense of purposeful belonging.
I was worried about judgment before coming to Eaglemont, but wow, was I wrong about that. Every time I walk through these church doors, I feel a sense of warmth and calmness, which is totally uplifting. The connections I've made with other Christians at Eaglemont, either by coming on Sunday or in a small group, is totally something I can thank God for. I know I've been extremely blessed to be a part of this church family ever since the first day I decided to walk through those doors.
As the years have progressed and we plugged ourselves into the church more and more, we also received more in return. Our head knowledge of God has steadily increased over the years through the studies, discussions, and events hosted by the church in which we have participated. But I would say that our heart knowledge of God has grown at a faster pace as we have seen answers to prayers both on our behalf from the church and in our personal walks with God as we have learned to trust God more and more in many different circumstances. Our intimacy with God has grown as a result of being a part of the body, and so it's hard to imagine going through life's peaks and valleys without the support of a church like Eaglemont.
Eaglemont has been so amazing for me and for my family. I was a student who was able to grow up here, who was able to find what Jesus meant for me personally, and now I get to raise my own family here in this church. Eaglemont is so foundational to my walk with Jesus.
I came across Psalm 99 as a teen after a difficult teenage moment, but since then it has always been my favorite verse. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Eaglemont has become that place of refuge for me over the past few years. Through new friendships in Christ, to the small groups and counseling services, and of course the weekly Bible-based messages. It just feels like family here.
The ECC mission statement is so simple, so true, and it begins with developing a relationship with Jesus through prayer. My faith has grown immensely by being part of this church family. We have a common belief. We share and learn from our unique life experiences with love and hope, and together we get through times of despair and celebrate joyous events.
And in my mind, the Holy Spirit placed an idea that in Beaumont, we must start the church in a different way. And the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to start it differently. I said, okay. So what different? Well, build a church. And then when it's finished, open the doors and invite the people to come to the service. Wow, that is different. And that's why this church is going to grow, it's going to flourish, it's going to be productive for Jesus, it's going to be a great blessing, greater than it is already, and it's going to be the church until Jesus comes. Powerful church. Because Jesus planted this church.
Thank you to each one of you who shared. Looks like they had a good time as well at the end there, didn't it? Powerful stuff, real life, real people, real gospel, real Jesus, real change, real hope, So cool. Pastor Gary and Carrie, it's an honor to have you with us this morning on this great occasion. Welcome. Those almost, you know, when it impacts family, it's pretty significant. Those almost 10 years that I was on your pastoral team at Millwoods Assembly, as it was called back then, Hope City Now, were truly a blessing to me and my family. And I thank you for your support and your consistent encouragement in this journey as well. And I thank you for being here today again in your role as a district superintendent to share and to lead us in some important moments that we're calling the act of dedication of this facility to God. Now, Eaglemont Church, just a comment. You probably don't need this coaching. But when we participate in a few moments in this responsive reading, dial into the words. It's not a ritual. It's not a mere formality, okay? Let's choose to make those moments, that reading, moments of a genuine expression of our heart and desire for what we want God to do through this space. So, church family, welcome Pastor Gary warmly as he comes right now.
Good morning, church. It's great to be here with you on such an exciting day. Good to be here. And Mr. Mayor, your wife, it's great to be here. We honor you for your good work serving this constituency. You can't have a great church without a great group of dedicated people like this. But would you agree that it's equally difficult to think of having a great church without having a great pastoral couple to lead it, right? I think so. And this is what I do. I'm not an expert at anything else, but this is what I do. And you've got a good team. And support them, pray for them, stand with them. And it will only bless you as you stand with and bless them. So stand with this couple. Well, as Canadians, aren't we grateful for things like education in Canadian culture? Like, what premium is there on illiteracy? None. Grateful for education in Canadian society. If you've ever had a health speed bump, aren't you grateful for the people in healthcare that are there when you show up at an emergency ward or whatever, and there are capable people who make it their profession to help people like you in a time like that? I'm grateful for law enforcement. You know, I can't say that I celebrate if I get a speeding ticket or something like that, but aren't you glad that you live in a country where there's a rule of law? You know, you can't bribe police officers, whatever. They're people of principle, and we've got some great structure here. And I'm grateful for government. No government is perfect, but if you look at places in the world where their society is led by warlords, aren't you glad for a government where there are elections and there's, you know, the order and form that we have? So much to be grateful for in Canada. But like my friend Bob reminds me regularly, people in Canada are just trying to make life work. And they're doing the best they can. But there's struggles with family. There's untangling the inside of us from the pressures and the stresses of life. And other things, questions. What happens when I die? Where did we come from? Why are we here? See, those are questions and issues that aren't addressed by healthcare. Public education doesn't address those things. government doesn't lead the way in answering those big ideas. Where are those things answered? In faith. In coming to know the Creator who made us. In developing our walk with God, and in responding to a book wherein God spoke reliably to the human race through the Scriptures. We read that and we say, this is what God thinks about these things. And aside from all the other good things that we're grateful for in Canada and that help us, right at the hub of the very most important things is faith and belief in God and how to sort it out and grow with greater effectiveness in applying that to your life. So it's just so important what you have done. Like, not for profit. Government doesn't fund this. It's given by people who, out of hard-earned money, put some money aside from a paycheck and volunteer to lead kids and set up chairs and do stuff. That's what makes church go round. But congratulations, Eaglemont Church, that you have done this for the next 50 years, maybe more. This place will be a nerve center that answers the biggest questions in people's lives that no other agency, good as they are, in Canadian society answers. And you've done that. And you're going to faithfully operate it. Good for you. God is pleased with your faith. Our dedication moment is based on a prayer. And it's sort of put together in a responsive way. I hope you'll be okay with this. Where I'll read one line of the prayer, and then on the screen will come the next line, and that's for you as a congregation to just in unison, and you work that out, okay? Like, you kind of make it come together if you can. Make me look good. Yeah, and then I'll read the next one, and then you're on for the next one right through to the end. Perhaps we could stand as we do this, because this is really a prayer to God for this church, its leadership, all of your volunteers, and its place in this fine community. So if you're comfortable doing so, let's enter in. Act of dedication. May this church building become a crossroads for Albertans of all ages. May I? May the people of Beaumont and this whole region who engage with Eaglemont Church discover hope through the Savior, Jesus Christ. May this place stand as a thanksgiving for the gospel and the house where men be May the service to individuals, family, and community under this roof reflect our love for a God who cares about people. May ministry here be done with the strength that God provides. Altogether, may this expanded church be a blessed place through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.